Good morning. Great to see all of you here once again today. We're still enjoying weather that we don't really expect. I was going to say deserve, but maybe you do deserve it. I don't know. But it's good to be here. It's good to enjoy the fellowship that we have, and we're glad that you're joining us for worship. I'm Pastor John Dart. I'm the lead transitional pastor here. And I see faces I haven't seen before, so we welcome you if you're a visitor. And we also welcome you back if you're just coming back out of COVID or whatever. That's great to have you all here. A few announcements. I want to mention that our hat and mitt tree is actually going to continue for a couple of months because the the walk-ins who come on Monday nights for a meal, it's helpful for them to be able to take something off the tree. So we want to keep on filling that tree up. And also in connection with that, we could use hygiene items like toothpaste, toothbrushes and soap and that kind of thing. There were 8 walk-ins last week, so the number is growing. So it's great to be able to provide that community meal every Monday night. And thank you so much to the volunteers. I couldn't come last week, but the week before when I was here, there were, I don't know, probably a dozen, 15 volunteers, which is great. Christina was telling me that none of the other churches who are involved on the other weeknights have as many volunteers as us. So there you go. That's great. This also is the last week to sign up for the Christmas dinner, December the 4th. And so that's at 4 p.m. at the Rockdale Steakhouse. So you can see who has the, okay, Joyce is the one to talk to for that. Also, coming up is the Snowflake Pancake Breakfast. What's the date on that, Sheila? 12th of November. Okay. So my announcement is that the ladies need men to volunteer to help set up and take down. So Friday, 2 to 4, that would be on the 11th, there will be set up. The ladies will be here, and so they could use some muscle. I think those are all the announcements. Our weekly activities are on the back of your bulletin, and you can check that out. If you're not sure about what's happening with some of them, just check the person who's involved. In a moment, I'm going to open in prayer, but I do want to read one verse from Proverbs. Pastor Phil is speaking today, and he wanted this verse read. He who finds a wife finds what is good, and receives favor from the Lord. Why don't we stand? I want to invite you into worship today, and let's pray. Ask the Lord to bless us and lead us by his Spirit. Lord God, we thank you for your presence with us today. Lord, we know that we as a body are your temple. We know that you're here, you're present with us, working among us, but you also work in our hearts. We personally, each individual who has professed faith in Jesus is a walking temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we're here, God, in unison, because we all share the same Spirit. We're here in unity. And we want to offer our praise and our thanks to you in a way that is acceptable and fragrant, a way that is a blessing to you. Lord, we want to bless you as we worship you today, glorify you. And so may your Spirit also be poured out on us. Open our hearts, Lord. Open our hearts to what you want to do and say. We pray for Pastor Phil. As later he opens the word to us, we pray, God, that you would speak to us in a mighty way today. And we thank you again for your gift of Jesus to us and all the blessings of salvation that we have in him. We pray in his name. Amen. Dan and praise team. Seriously, though, you've been a great congregation to lead, and I speak on behalf of Tonga and Christina as well, that we've enjoyed ministering with you and to you, and we are looking forward to a lot of time together, continuing together with you. I have a number of things to pray for today. At the top of our list is Tonga, who is still there in India with his father, and I haven't had an update from Christina. I think that the last thing that we heard was that he's just in stable condition on a vent. For those of you who don't know, he had a fall. He slipped on some slippery ground because of the cyclone weather that's been going on there, and banged his head and has a hemorrhage, a brain hemorrhage. So he's in critical condition but stable, and all of Tonga's siblings have gathered there to be with him. They're not sure what the outcome is going to be at this point. So Tonga had a safe trip, a two-leg trip, and got there, I think, on late Thursday. So we want to continue to pray for him and for Christina at home, too. Tonga's going to be gone for about 2.5 weeks, so Christina's going to be on her own with the kids. So we do want to remember that. Also, Rhoda's niece's husband, Louis Bryant, who was a pastor at one point in Kingston area, and we need to pray for him. He's been given the news that he only has weeks, but possibly months to live. And so we want to pray for peace and strong faith for that family. Also, Bruce had a stress test, and it turned up a little irregularity in his heart, and so he's having an angiogram done tomorrow at 9:30. So I'll remember Bruce as he goes in for that. Catherine DeBoer's friend Barbara has been diagnosed with cancer, so another need there. And we want to continue praying for Sheila. We're glad to see Sheila back after her procedure, surgery, and she's doing well, better than expected, I think. And also remember Cheryl and Barry, too, with ongoing needs, physical needs. Also, something that's that just came in is that Andrea and Kevin are concerned about their sons, Jacob and Isaac. They both spiked a fever, so I want to remember them as well. Also want to remember tomorrow night's community meal. As we continue to do that, continue to open our facilities for our people who are in need. So let's remember all of these things. I invite you to join your hearts with mine as we bring these things to the throne of grace. Lord God, we are so thankful for all that you give to us, all that you have done for us. And so, Lord, we come with confidence, with boldness to your throne of grace today, because you invite us to do that. And so, Lord, we come bringing our needs, and we want to draw near as your word invites us to, not just to bring our needs, but to draw near to you as our Heavenly Father, the giver of good and perfect gifts, and Jesus, your Son, who intercedes for us. Lord, there's an intimate fellowship that we have that we enjoy, and out of that we come bringing our needs and our requests. So, Lord, we want to remember Tonga today and the rest of his siblings as they gather around their father's bedside, and as they are tending to him and waiting for an outcome to his serious condition. Lord, we pray that you would oversee all of that, as we know that you will, and that you would give them peace, that you would also even do a miracle. God, we know that their father is the pastor of a church, and so, God, we pray that you would intercede and intervene on his behalf, and, God, even do a miracle of healing. So we pray for all of that whole situation, God, that there would be faith and peace and comfort, and that you would surround them with your Holy Spirit. Lord God, we also want to remember Rhoda's niece's husband, Louis. Lord, this news is not always easy, and we pray for him, for his family, as they adjust to this prognosis. And again, Lord, you can do a miracle, and we pray that you will accomplish your purpose in this situation as well. Lord, we want to remember Bruce as he goes for his angiogram tomorrow. We pray that he will have your peace as well, he and Donna. We pray that the doctors, technicians involved, Lord, that you would give them the skill, the wisdom that's needed in diagnosing whatever this issue is. And, Lord, we commit that to you and know that Bruce is in your hands. So we pray that you will accomplish your perfect will. Give them
you give them strong faith and trust in you, looking to you for the outcome of this test. Lord, we pray too for Catherine's friend, Barbara, diagnosed with cancer. Again, Lord, a big adjustment to that news. Lord, we don't know whether Barbara is a believer, but if not, we pray that this would be an open door of opportunity, God, for the gospel, and we commit her to you. And Lord, whatever your will is, healing and perhaps even the opportunity of believers to come around alongside of her and minister to her with the good news. So, Lord, we commit her to you as well. And we think, too, of Isaac and Jacob. Lord, whatever this illness is, we pray that you would comfort them and bring them back to health, Lord. Comfort their parents. Help them to know at what point they need to seek medical treatment. And Lord, you know that many of us who have been parents of young children, these things concern us. And so, God, I pray that you would bring peace to that household as well, and healing and all that's needed. And Lord, we also think of the outreach that we have on Monday nights, and we thank you for those who have come through these doors for a meal and hospitality and conversation, Lord, and even the meeting of some of their other physical needs. We pray that that will continue. Lord, I want to pray too for one of the people who we've had contact with because of this Monday night outreach, Lord, a man named Huey, and I pray for the meeting I have with him tomorrow just to talk about his spiritual condition. God, that you would be in that conversation and help him open his heart to the message of salvation and to his spiritual need of Jesus. And so, God, we pray that you'll continue to bless and use this outreach. And so, Lord, in all these things, we thank you for the presence of your Holy Spirit in our congregation and among us, and the way that you are moving us forward to lay hold of all that is your will for us. And Lord, in connection with that, we pray also for our meal after the service and our annual general meeting and the discussion that we'll have concerning the upcoming year, our budget and business that we need to discuss. God, I pray that in all of that we'll have unity and fellowship and wisdom, leading of your Holy Spirit. So we thank you for the way that you are working in us and among us. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray in his name. Amen. We're also happy to have with us today the representative for this area for Collingwood Stainer, a volunteer representative of Samaritan's Purse, and she's going to come and share what they have been doing, a specific outreach that they had. And I want to mention, just before Tammy comes, Tammy McGill, just want to mention that we only have 17 boxes left. We're really getting close to our goal of 50 boxes, so there's only 17 left. I encourage you to take a box if you haven't already. We're really trying hard to meet that goal of 50. But Tammy, come and share with us.
Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to be with you this morning. It's nice to worship with you, and I haven't had the opportunity to gather with you before, so it's really nice to be here. You're a nice, friendly church, and I'm just happy to be here this morning. I am the Operation Christmas Child team leader. That's my title, and I'm a volunteer. What I do is look after the people who are looking after the churches, which are called, they're called project leaders, so that would be this year Christina for you, I think. And we try to get a project leader in each congregation that's going to promote Operation Christmas Child to their congregation, set goals, and just try to meet those goals, see how many boxes they can pack, and have fun doing it. I know that your church has packed boxes for a lot of years. How many of you have packed a box before? Lots of you. Okay, so I'm not going to go into all the nitty-gritty. If you don't know what all the details about it, then you can talk to Christine, or she'll be presenting some things with you. So this is Operation Christmas season, and I always love to show a video to my congregation, and I don't know if you've seen any yet, but you might, of all the children giggling and laughing and opening their shoeboxes, and they're so excited about these shoeboxes. But what I want to share with you today is what these shoeboxes really mean. I want to give you a picture of what really happens with these shoeboxes when they reach their destination. When we're over here, we think more about how we're going to pack it, what we're going to pack in it. But let's think about the other side of the world this morning and what actually happens as you pack a box. The mission of Operation Christmas Child is to show God's love in a tangible way to a needy child, and together with the local church worldwide to share the good news of the gospel. So I want to share a few slides with you to begin with. We are looking at where the shoeboxes go that are packed in Canada. They go to Central America and West Africa, and that's been for a long time. This year, something new is to the Ukraine and to the Philippines. And the Ukraine we did a while ago, but not for several years now. So it's exciting to go there when we know there are many needy hurting children in the Ukraine. So it's nice that we're able to go there. Now, you won't know where your box goes, but if I had half an hour or an hour, I could share with you some stories about how amazing it has been with kids that have received shoeboxes with exactly the things that they needed in them. So just, you know, whatever you see on sale, if God's telling you to put something in there that you think might be a little bit weird, don't worry about it. It all works out. God knows where it's going. God knows what these children need. So we just want you to pack those shoeboxes and see how many shoeboxes we can get. Okay, the next slide shows, I hope it's big enough. It's not too big there. Last year, we packed 10,500,000 shoeboxes worldwide. And Canada packed 413,000. Now that, believe it or not, is down from before COVID. So this year, as a Canadian goal, we have the goal of 500,000 shoeboxes. That's quite a few more than last year. But we want to strive to do our best and just, you know, reach high for these goals. So I also wanted to point out to you on this slide that there are over 100 receiving countries. And at the bottom there, over 1,000 churches were planted last year. Is that amazing? Amazing. Over 100... Does that say unreached people groups? I can't see it very well. Yeah, over 100 unreached people groups. And about 3 years ago, they decided they wanted to go into the Indonesia area. You know, there's all those thousands of islands around there. Indonesia, I can't think of Polynesia, all those. And they're reaching people that have no representative of Christianity in their nation or in their community. So it's really, really being impactful there. And more stories, I can't tell you them. I have to keep going. Okay, the next slide. Is it the next slide or do we have a video? Okay, the greatest journey. Okay, yeah, I wanted to talk to you about this. So when the children receive a shoebox, they also receive this pamphlet, The Greatest Journey. And what it is, it just explains the gospel. Okay, so the kids they hear the gospel before they get their shoebox, and then they get their shoebox, and they have a party with that, and they receive this to take home. And then they are invited back to a 12-week discipleship program, and that is, there it is. So let me think, what was I going to say about that? Okay, and can you go back? There's something there I wanted to show you guys, the statistics on the greatest journey. So almost 3 million children graduated from the greatest journey. So out of 10 million shoeboxes, 3 million children went through 12 weeks of discipleship training. And most of those children, 2.3 million, became Christians. And even more went through the whole time. So the gospel has been planted, right? The seed has been planted there. And even if they aren't becoming Christians right away, it's planted. And then in the next one, this is what we like to see. Evangelism, which starts with the shoebox. Discipleship, which is the 12-week program. And then multiplication, because these kids are going home and their parents are noticing a difference and their siblings are noticing a difference, and it changes their whole community. So it's not just about the child either. It's about whole communities that are coming to Jesus through a simple shoebox. So I hope you see the impact of packing a shoebox. It's just incredible to think about. Each shoebox represents a gospel opportunity. When I started this about, I think it was 4 years ago, I started this job. And so I was, you know, getting to know people and figure out how we're going to do this in the churches. Before that, every church was just kind of independent, doing their own thing, and that's what we'd done for years, too. But now we have a bit of a network where we can help each other, and we've got resources we can share and that kind of thing. So I was excited to get started, but what I didn't know was that my son, who is the youth pastor, he decided that the youth were going to go on a distribution trip to El Salvador. And so I joined them on that trip, and I got to go to El Salvador on my very first year. I got to pack shoeboxes with churches, and then I got to be on the other side and distribute shoeboxes. So what we want to do now is show you a little bit about the trip that we went on. So we'll show the video now. Okay, I just have a few more minutes. I didn't remember that that was so long. So we just want to go through a few slides of our trip and just tell you a little bit about what happened on our trip there. Okay, so this is our team. We'll just carry you along. Experiencing every phase of Operation Christmas Child. This is usually the presentation that my son does, and he was sick today, so I'm just going to do this best I can. I don't have any more notes. Okay, so the first thing, we start with packing boxes in our local congregations, and we have a couple pictures of some kids packing boxes. We like to have some packing parties at Journey, and we tend to get a few more boxes that way. Everybody brings stuff, and then we pack boxes. And we have quite a large goal this year, so we'll see if our project leaders reach their goal. This is an opportunity that we used to have, and maybe some of you were able to do this as well. They had it around in the Kitchener area was called the collection center, and all the shoeboxes from Ontario would go to Kitchener. Then the shoeboxes are sorted through. So this is really important to understand that we don't change the boxes, but what we do is we open them up and we make sure there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there, okay? So no liquids, no candy or gum, no war items, or no playing cards. There's a few things that we're not supposed to take, no toothpaste. So those things have to come out of the box. If they are in the box and they get to inspection at the borders, and they find that those things are in there, they possibly could reject the entire thing. So it's really, really important that we don't have those things in the shoeboxes. Okay, so after the distribution center, then the shoeboxes fly away, and there we are. I don't think we're in that plane, but we're flying away to El Salvador. Okay, and I think you know where El Salvador is. Carry on there. Okay, so we got to do 4 trips of shoebox distributions. And it's so exciting. It's so much fun. And we were so welcomed and loved because in El Salvador, they've only got their shoeboxes from Canada. So they love Canadians. When we got to some places, they had Canadian flags, and they had one place they played O Canada. Tears came to my eyes. I couldn't believe it. But yeah, they love Canada. And so we were able to go and distribute shoeboxes at 4 different locations. And then after that, we were able to take part in the Greatest Journey session. So we went to a different place where they had already received their shoeboxes, and they're into the Greatest Journey. So we were able to sit down with the kids. We were able to listen to the lesson that they were doing, and they're all sitting around. And it's just like a kids' club thing that we do here. So they're working through their books. The books are in languages, and there's, I think there's 30-some languages that it's available in now. Okay, and then we were able to attend 2 graduation ceremonies. And so after the kids have gone through their 12 weeks of the discipleship program, they have a big ceremony, and they make a big deal of it. They have speakers, and they have music, and some of them in Africa, I know they wear cap and gown. They didn't. Okay, and so anyways, they have the big party, and at this, Waits receives a Bible. So now they have a Bible in their own language in their home. So I think that's a really big thing, too. It's really great. And when you put $10 in your shoebox, that pays for all this stuff besides the shipping. So I know it's a lot, and sometimes it ends up being a lot of money, but that $10 is really important so that they can provide the things that the children need to continue their journey with the Lord. Okay, and I think this is the last slide. Is that right? Second last? Okay. So in this slide, we have our team here, and in the front is a pastor, and his name is Mauricio, and good that thing that Jason put his name up there for me. But I was really impressed, too. One of the biggest things when I was there, I was impressed with the leadership. They would come on our van, and they would welcome us to their place and tell us, you know, sort of the plan we were going to do. And they would thank us for coming, and they would say how much it meant. And the man that's beside him in the back there, his name is Arturo, and he is the logistics coordinator, so he gets everything where it needs to go to all the different churches when it arrives in his port in El Salvador. He has a big job, and he's a volunteer. I couldn't believe it. He does this on the side. And anyways, he said, people are fighting to get the teams to come to their churches. That's how special it is for them. And my son asked Mauricio, is this Operation Christmas Child a big deal? Why do you do it? And he's like, why wouldn't I do it? It's just so impactful in their communities. They're looking for ways to reach out to their communities, just like we are. And this is a way that open doors, it just seems to open kids' hearts when they receive this shoebox and they're saying, you know, why is somebody from Canada giving me a shoebox full of gifts and full of school supplies that I need? What do they care about me? But they understand about love. And then they're pointed to Jesus who loves them. And if you are interested in looking at some stories, if you go on YouTube and just put Operation Christmas Child, you will find all kinds of stories of children who have been so impacted by the gift that they received. So what we want to just leave with you today is that the local church is so important, because here the local church is working together, packing shoeboxes, and I just love my job too, that I get to work with all the different churches in the area. It's not a denominational thing. We're all just spreading the gospel and sharing Jesus' love. And then our shoeboxes go across the world or down south to local churches who are trying to reach their children and their community. And we're giving them that opportunity. They also receive teaching materials and, you know, Bibles, things that they can't afford to have. And they also are trained. So there's thousands and thousands of children, of teachers trained each year also, to present this to their students. So that's another sort of facet of the ministry, is that people are being trained to teach children. So there we are. That's our group. I'm the old lady in the pink shirt. And all these kids, we had such a good time together. The kids were so great, just working so hard. And I was just proud of them all. But what an experience. If you ever have a chance to go, or you have a chance to send someone, it just is worth the effort. It's worth the experience. It's also a fun trip. It's not like a really hard trip if you've been on some really hard mission trips. It's fun, but it's well worth it. And then coming back and being an ambassador for Operation Christmas Child. There was a little boy who opened his shoebox, and I don't know all the details. This wasn't my story. But he opened the shoebox, and he pulled out a Barbie, and the leader is looking at him going, oh, my goodness, who would put a Barbie in a boy's shoebox? And anyways, the little boy was excited, and he's showing everybody he's got a Barbie in his shoebox. And they finally found out that he had a sister at home who was sick and couldn't come and get a shoebox. And there was a gift that he could take home to his sister. And there are thousands and thousands of stories. Another one quickly is that really hit me was there was a little boy that got some sandals in his shoebox that were a men's size. And I was at the distribution center, and I'm like, when I saw some things, I'm like, this is ridiculous. Who would put this in the kid's shoebox? So who would put a size 12 shoes in a little boy's shoebox, right? But anyways, this is what he had. And he ran back to his grandfather, who was the leader of the village, and this was one of the unreached people groups, gave them to his grandfather, and it touched his heart so much that he opened up his village for the people to come and do the greatest journey, the discipleship program. They wouldn't let any Christians come in. They finally decided they would let them do the shoeboxes, but no talking about Jesus. But that pair of sandals changed his life and changed his village as well. So, okay, I've taken too much time, Pastor John, but thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for being here with us and ministering to all of us today. Please let your blessings be upon Pastor Phil as he comes and delivers the message. And let us hear your words flow out of his mouth. In Jesus' name I ask and thank you. Amen.
You can tell when Dan's on the stage. Everybody else needs a box to get to that mic. Okay, we're going to talk about something a little bit different than what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. We're going to continue with the series, Be the Church. But we've, in the past 2 weeks, we've looked at God as a gardener, and we've looked at the voice and vision of Christ. So today we're going to turn that around a little bit, and we're going to talk about Jesus is the bridegroom and his bride, the church. When Jesus started this whole trip around the world that he took, I don't think he would have thought of the people that he was reaching as his bride. But they were. And we are. Because we all want that relationship with Christ. We're going to look at two bits of scripture to start this off. And the first one is Hosea 2:19. I will take you to be my wife forever. I will take you to be my wife in righteousness, justice, love, and compassion. I will take you to be my wife in faithfulness, and you will know Yahweh. What a wonderful promise that is. They didn't speak God's name very often. But here, it's God making a promise that you're going to know him as you become his bride. The second one, we're going to jump right to the other end of the Bible, and we're going to go to Revelation. And here it says, let us be glad, rejoice, and give him glory, because the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has prepared herself. So here, at the end of the Bible, we've got them still talking about this marriage going on at the beginning of the Bible. It's a figurative thing. Jesus did not get married twice. He used this sort of analogy to help us understand what it really means to be part of that family. In Hosea, that verse was taken out of a time and describing a time when the Israelites had turned away from Christ and turned away from God and didn't want anything to do with him because they were better off on their own. Not so. When they turned away from that and turned back to God, this was God forgiving them and telling them about how much he really loved them and how he wanted them to be part of his family. In Revelation, we're now talking about the church as it exists throughout the church age. So for some 2,000 years, Jesus has been waiting and starting relationships with people. And in Revelation, we see him say his wife has prepared herself. So that took me down a rabbit hole that we could have spent a week and a half on. But these two pictures, and they're vivid pictures of what God is showing us about himself. And what does it really mean when it says the church being his bride? What are we expected to do? Well, the first thing is it's telling us about him. It's telling us about his expectations of what he feels this relationship that we have is going to mean. And secondly, he talks about his bride, the church, about what he expects from us. So, are we ready? Do you think we're really ready for marriage? I mean, I know I wasn't ready to marry my wife when it happened. I'm not sure she was ready to marry me. If she had known what she knows today, maybe she wouldn't have. But dear, I would have married you and would again in an instant. So, if we're expected to be the bride of Christ and we're expected to marry him, where do we go? Well, I'd like to look at two more bits of scripture. And this time, we're going to start in Proverbs. In Proverbs 31, 10, and 12, it says, it's titled, In Praise of a Capable Wife. Who can find a capable wife? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of the husband trusts in her, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. So, if this describes us, are we a capable wife? Are we capable of giving and receiving in a relationship with Christ? We are. We can never outgive him, because after all, we're just one little human, and he's dealing with the whole world. And he loves everyone that he asks. Everyone. He doesn't care what our past was. He knows what our future is. And he loves us in any way. The next one I want to look at is Revelation, again, in 22:17. Now, this is a powerful picture of Christ and his bride. And it says, both the Spirit and the bride say, come. Anyone who hears should say, come. And the one who is thirsty should come. Whoever desires should take the living water as a gift. What an incredible gift. Here, Christ is offering salvation. But he's offering it to us not as a, if you do this, this, and this, you'll earn this. No. Here, they're just simply saying, come. Come experience it. Come and find out what it is to have a relationship with God. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. Man, I don't know about you, but I hope that that's what my wife does for me. She has thus far. Sometimes I know I give her time for pause because I'm not perfect. But I certainly appreciate, and I'm sure all of us do, the relationship that we have with our wives. So with everything that was going on here this morning, we're going to keep this short. As we move into some fabulous chili, let's try to remember what it means to be part of a relationship with Christ. Not just as individuals, but as a church, as a body. How can we serve with him as our head of the household here at Wasega Beach? As you enjoy chili and have a conversation across the table, keep that in mind. How can we be the bride of Christ? The one who is going to, as it says in that phrase in Revelation, she's far more precious than jewels. She rewards him with good, not evil, all the days of her life. And that's what I pray for this church, is that we are able and willing to reward Christ with good, not evil, all the days of our life. Pastor John, would you come and pray for us?
Let's stand as we pray. Lord God, what a privilege it is to be the bride of Christ, God. And I pray that as individuals and as a church body, that we will be pure and blameless at the coming of Jesus, prepared for the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Lord God, that's described in Revelation, what a privilege it is to look forward to that, to be part of that, Lord. And so I pray that you'll speak to our hearts through Phil's message today, that you will help us to feel the privilege, but also the responsibility of being the bride of Christ, preparing ourselves for that. God, we thank you again for Jesus and for all that he means to us and for the tremendous blessing of salvation, the relationship that this marriage metaphor implies and signifies. God, we thank you for that, for his love for us. And we pray these things in his name. And ask Dan and the praise team to come and close us out. A couple of things before we go today. I want to invite all of you to be part of our chili meal. Even if you're not staying for the general meeting afterwards, you're invited to have lunch with us. So even if you didn't bring anything, that's not a problem. We've got lots of food out there. So join us for lunch. Next week is our regular communion service, and I just want to remind you that we've introduced the a few minutes of sharing during our communion services, and so next week we'll be doing that, taking about 10 minutes just to share praises and what God has been doing in our lives. So that's coming up, and you'll get a reminder of that coming in by email this week. So I just want to return thanks for lunch today. It's a little easier to do it now than trying to get all your attention a little bit later. So join me and let's ask the Lord's blessing on the meal we're going to share together. Lord God, we thank you again for our fellowship here. And Lord, we do pray that we will enjoy unity and fellowship over this chili meal. And Lord, that we will have your blessing, that your Spirit would continue to be poured out on us. And Lord, again, that you would give us wisdom as we head into our meeting. So God, bless this meal as we receive it with gratitude towards you. And we thank you again for all you bless us with. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, folks.